Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. Come spend the Sabbath with us. We meet at 828 3rd Street in beautiful Hudson, Wisconsin, only 25 minutes from downtown St. Paul. For more information, click on Services and Location at BethEmmanuel.org.
One of the things that our master used to say, "For nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known." This saying applies to a lot of things. But he spoke these words in reference to his own teachings, explaining to his disciples that they should have no secret teachings because even what they whisper in the ear will one day be shouted from the rooftops. And he spoke these words in reference to hypocrisy and secret sins, warning against the spiritual hypocrisy of those who look righteous on the outside, but on the inside are full of iniquity and uncleanness. And he spoke these words in reference to the kingdom and the revelation of Messiah himself. In the Gospel of Mark, he said it this way in reference to his own teachings about the kingdom. He said, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light." In the kingdom, the hidden teachings will be revealed, as it says in Isaiah 30, verse 20, "And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore, but your eyes shall see your teacher." Isaiah 30, verse 20. In this current age, God's goodness and his sovereignty remain hidden from us most of the time, and we do not see his miracles. And bad things happen. And we don't understand why God feeds us the bread of adversity, as it says here in Isaiah, or makes us drink the water of affliction. But in the Messianic era, in the coming kingdom, our eyes will be opened, and Hashem will no longer be concealed or hidden from us, and we will understand the words of James, the brother of the Master, who says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." The kingdom of heaven, the Messianic era, will be a time of revelation when hidden things are revealed. And among the hidden things that will be revealed to us and become obvious to us in that day will be the hidden miracles which are with us today. In the world today, it's possible to go through life without experiencing a revealed miracle. A revealed miracle is, what we mean by that is, an obvious miracle, an obvious interruption of the natural order, in which it's just so clear that God's hand intervened. Some people seem to have endless stories of revealed miracles, but not everyone gets the privilege of a revealed miracle. Nevertheless, we are all recipients of Hashem's concealed miracles. And when I say concealed miracles, I should distinguish between two types of concealed miracles. First of all, there are the concealed miracles of everyday life, which we have no idea, no real idea about. For example, what if, God forbid, early this morning, your heart stopped, you had a heart attack, God forbid, but you didn't even know it because Hashem sent the angel Raphael to heal your heart before it had even skipped a beat because it wasn't your time yet. That would be a concealed miracle, one that you had no idea took place. In the prayers, we acknowledge God's concealed miracles and we give thanks for them. We say, "We give thanks and speak your praises for our lives that are placed in your care, for our souls that are under your protection, for your miracles that are with us daily, and your incomprehensible acts of goodness that happen all the time, evening, morning, and afternoon." This prayer is a statement of faith in the goodness of God, that even though we don't always see the things that befall us as evidence that we are in his care or that his miracles are with us, nevertheless, we know it to be so. And we thank him three times a day in these words. But there's a second type of concealed miracle, and that is a miracle which is concealed in the biblical text, but hinted at. For example, the Torah never comes out and explicitly tells us that 90-year-old Sarah's youth was restored to her so that she could conceive Isaac. It's not explicitly stated, but you can figure it out because in the next chapter of the Torah, Abimelech abducts this 90-year-old woman for his harem. Likewise, the Torah doesn't explicitly tell us about the miracle of the birth of Moses, that his mother Yocheved was older than Sarah when she conceived her children, or that Moses was conceived miraculously. These are miracles that the sages inferred from a careful reading of the text. We find one example in Parshat Chukat, the Torah reading, in Numbers chapter 22, sort of a creative example of a concealed miracle. It says, "And from there they continued to Be'er, that is the well of which the Lord said to Moses, 'Gather the people together so that I may give them water.' Then Israel sang this song, 'Spring up, O well, sing to it, the well that the princes made, that the nobles of the people dug, with the scepter and with their staffs.' And from the wilderness they went on to Matana, and from Matana to Nahaliel, and from Nahaliel to Bamot." It's not obvious that there's a miracle here. But this is the same well, the same fountain, that sprang out of the rock that Moses struck with his staff 40 years earlier in Exodus 18. And it's the same rock that he was supposed to speak to in Numbers 20, but he struck it with the staff again. So, what's hidden about that? Nothing. That's a revealed miracle. The Torah tells us about that right up front. It's revealed in the text, and it was revealed in the eyes of Israel. Obviously miraculous. But the Midrash teaches us that the concealed part is that it was the same rock, which means that the rock followed them in the wilderness for 40 years, a tradition which Paul confirms in 1 Corinthians 10 when he says they all drank from the same rock which followed them. So you could say that was a concealed miracle, not concealed to Israel who saw the rock following them, but concealed to us as the readers of the text. Rashi explains that this was the same well, the same rock, and that's why the people sang, "The well the princes made that the nobles of the people dug with the scepter and with their staves." This refers to Moses and Aaron who opened the rock with their staves. If so, we should ask, why are the people only now singing songs of praise about the well if the well has been with them for 40 years? What's the occasion? And Rashi has an explanation for this too, drawing on a teaching from Midrash Tanhuma. He explains that as the children of Israel crossed through the Arnon Canyon, the Amorites were hiding in caves to ambush them. And they would have gotten away with it too. But before they could ambush the children of Israel, what did Hashem do? The Lord took the two sides of the canyon walls, and he smashed them together, crushing all the Amorite warriors. So then, when the children of Israel came along and passed through the canyon, they had no idea of the danger that they had been in, and they had no idea that Hashem had miraculously saved them by smashing the Amorite warriors before their arrival. Having brought Israel safely through the danger, however, in the Midrash, in this story in the Midrash, the Holy One, blessed be He, said, "Who's going to make known these miracles to my children?" Rashi explains what happened. What happened was this. Hashem says, "Who's going to make known these miracles to my children?" In other words, how will they ever know about this miracle that I just did, this concealed miracle that I saved them? They're oblivious to the fact. So what did he do? He sent the well, the rock that followed them, down into the valley where the crushed Amorites were laying, and he had it gush forth its waters. And the gushing waters washed up the blood of the slain and their arms and their legs and their body parts and swept them into a stream right past the children of Israel so that the Jewish people would see the people who had been laying in wait to kill them and they would understand that the Lord had performed a hidden miracle for them. Is this story literally true? Is that what really happened? Did God really smash the Amorites by crushing them between the cliffs of the canyon walls? This is Midrash. We never ask those sorts of questions when studying Midrash. Instead, the Midrash is true on a different level, teaching us a lesson through a creative rereading of the text. It's just a story in the Midrash. But it has a textual basis. This is why it says, from there they continued to Be'er, which means from there they continued to the well. Rashi reads it as, from there the outpouring of the well came. And then he explains why the Lord decided to reveal the concealed miracle to Israel. Because there's a proverb that says, not a proverb from the book of Proverbs, but a popular rabbinic proverb that says, if you have given bread to a child, let his mother know. In other words, if you have given someone a gift, you should let them know. This doesn't apply to charity, which should be anonymous. It applies to a gift that you give to a friend specifically to win your friend's affection and increase esteem in his or her eyes. The Talmud in Tractate Shabbat has a whole discussion about this proverb. If you have given bread to a child, let his mother know. In the Talmud, it discusses it on this verse in Exodus 31, verse 13, that says, you are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. So the point is that the Sabbath was a gift to Israel, and the holiness of the Sabbath was a gift that God was giving to Israel. And so Hashem says to Moses, I don't think they realize this is a gift from me. And so we read in Tractate Shabbat in the Talmud, it says, the Holy One, blessed be He, said to Moses, I have a wonderful gift in my treasure house. It's called the Shabbat, and I want to give it to the Jewish people. Go and inform them. Go tell them about Shabbat. As it says in our verse, Exodus 31, you are to speak to the people of Israel. From this, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel taught, one who gives bread to a child should inform the child's mother. Likewise, Hashem wanted his people to know that he had bestowed a gift on them, the Shabbat. So going back to our text in Numbers 21, the same proverb is being invoked. One who gives bread to a child must inform the child's mother. And we can find the basis for this idea of this creative story about God smashing the Amorites right in the text, where the word gift is creatively derived from these verses, where it says, then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing to it, the well that the princes made, that the nobles of the people dug with the scepter and with their staves. And then it says, and from the wilderness they went on to Matana, and from Matana to Nahaliel, and from Nahaliel to Bamot. Now, literally, in the literal, simple, literal reading of the text, these are all place names along the way as the children of Israel are moving along the Transjordan and coming up into the area of Moab. But the sages read these place names a little more creatively. So from the wilderness to Matana, reading Matana as a gift, and that's the miraculous rock. And from a gift, from Matana, to the valley, reading Nahaliel as Nahal, where the rock revealed the miracle of the crushed Amorites. So Nahal means a river. And from Nahaliel, from the valley to Bamot, to the heights, because that's what happens when a concealed miracle is revealed. It lifts you up out of the valley to the heights. Like the proverb says, one who gives bread to a child must inform the child's mother. So Yeshua teaches us that our Father in heaven gives us bread. He gives us the bread of tomorrow. And if we ask him for bread, he will not give us a rock. He says, which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? It's only in this world, the world of concealment, where it seems like we are asking for bread and getting stones, asking for fish and getting serpents. But if we could see the concealed, like we will when we enter the world of truth, then we will see that our Father gives good things to those who ask Him, and that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In the kingdom, the supernatural, which is hidden, will be manifest and revealed, unlike in this world. But this revelation will also come to us individually when we pass over the threshold and kiss the heavenly mezuzah. Suddenly the scales will drop from our eyes, and in that moment we will see the good and know the good, and we will understand that it was all for the good. We call the hereafter, the state of the dead, is called the world of truth, because there is no concealment in that place. Everything is laid bare, as Yeshua says, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be made known. In the world of truth, the truth becomes clear. And among the things that become clear, it will be clear to us how very good Hashem has been to us every day, evening, morning, and afternoon. His miracles have been with us evening, morning, and afternoon. Though the Lord gave us the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, in the future we will understand that these were good gifts, no less than the manna with which He fed the people in the wilderness, no less than the water that flowed from the rock that followed them. How do we know that He will reveal these concealed miracles to us in the time to come? Because it says in Isaiah 30, "Your teacher will not hide himself anymore. Your eyes shall see your teacher." And there's a proverb that says, "If you give bread to the child, tell his mother." Take on my yoke and learn from me, and find rest for your souls.